Accession number 31299, reel 3.
What was the name of the boat that you went out to Africa and Bombay in?
Pardon, the boat? The
name of the ship.
Oh dear, I did have it the other day. Oh God.
You went from Bombay on the Neuralia, you said?
Yeah, the Neuralia from Bombay. But the other ship we went to, out, well, we sailed more or less to America, as you think, and then back into Freetown, then down to Cape Town, and then across to Bombay.
How did you spend your time aboard?
Well, when we got into, we used to do physical jerks, naturally, and also other things, and everybody eventually was sent, you did go, didn't go in a group or anything, but they picked on you individually, really. If you hadn't been seasick, this is what they did, which they did to me in the end, and they said, well, you've got something down, and you've got to go down into the bilge and pick something up. And they arranged it. I mean, there was something to pick up, and you brought it back. But as soon as I got down the bottom, what did I do? Spewed my heart up. I'm not kidding. They knew where to take you to, of course, that was all washed away. But, and two or three blokes, they said, I don't know, said, what are you doing there for? So another one, when he went, he said, well, the same as you. I said, I have not been sick. And so they said, go. Well, when we left Gorok, I'll tell you the truth, we had an absolute smashing meal. And we had great big pork chops, very fatty. Great big one, about that thick. Everybody had a pork chop. I'm not kidding, to see that. That was when most of them were sick, I'll be quite honest. They looked at it, and on our table there were three of us left to eat a pork chop. All the rest of them, they'd all been sick. And that's what it was done for, I imagine. But they just left. Where did I was sick, though. I can't believe that was... It was going in... Oh, no, that was with Lily.
How long were you sailing in that ship for before you got to Cape Town?
I wouldn't say. It must have been... Well, we started out at Gorok. We went almost to across to America and then came back into Freetown. Because, I mean, you were so slow as well. I mean, you're going by the... The ship, as we went into Freetown, the ship behind us was sunk. As I said, that went down.
By U-boats?
If they'd have caught us, they'd have had a marvellous thing, because we were one of the loaded ones with... That had brain gun carriers and things like that, and jeeps also on board of it. But not many individuals, really. There were only people to look after the vehicles and that.
So in that long voyage, apart from being made sick, what else were you doing?
Oh, all sorts of things. Well, once we got the top, we slept on deck. Yeah. But you had to be up early because all of a sudden you didn't need to wake up. You got woke up. They'd be saying, salty water. And the naval people were all around washing the decks. So if you didn't get up, you got soaked. But
so what did you do the rest of the day?
We had lessons in darning socks, because the nurses, this is what they had to give us lessons in. And funnily enough, Tommy, what's his name? What was his name? I was with him. He lived, came from Slough, actually. And he, of course, they were showing us what to do and told us what to do, and then they left us to it. Anyway, of course they come and looked, and they looked at us and they said, who did this? I said, so Tommy Mumford, that's where it was. He said, yeah, it was mine. They took the socks that he'd darned and showed the rest of the nurses, and not one of them could do them as good. He used to darn my socks, because we were out of company together for a while. And if you got a hole in your sock, he'd always come and he liked doing it. He used to pass the time just darning socks for people. And but when he done it, it looked just as if professionally, you'd think it'd been done it But he apparently knew all about these sort of things.
The nurses weren't kept separate then?
Pardon?
The nurses weren't kept separate from the troops?
Oh, no, no. No, no. They were mainly with the officers, I'll agree. But, oh, no, they weren't kept separate. Oh, no, they'd often come round and have little lessons and things with us, and they taught us quite a few things, I suppose, really. I mean, they did. Well, as I say, they showed us how to sort. I'll never forget when I told my mum, but that was marvellous. He darned socks so you could see they were darned, but you didn't know how it was done. Everything was just right. And he did several of mine over the years and few years that we were together. I think. That's why you always order coffee. You can drink cold coffee, but you can't drink cold tea.
After your time in Iraq, then, what happened next?
When we went back from Iraq, we went back to... we went down. I went down. We came down by in lorries. Well, I did. I don't know. Don't say some. A lot of them went back by train, but I came down by lorries, and we lagered in one night in. I have to think of the countries. It was friendly anyway. It was before we got to Israel. There was no Israel there then. That's what people don't realise. Israel was a non-entity. And I forget, he was a nice little person, was a soldier himself. But we came down and we lagered in. No, that's before we got there. We lagered in when it absolutely poured with rain. And we just, all you could do was sit in the lorry and just pray. But all the way down, there were four of us in the back of a lorry, and we were playing bridge. We played a bridge, and they kept taking the scores. And there was like two of us playing two. And at the end, they had to give us quite a lot of money, I can assure you. But what happened to that, when we got further down, we were all in, but the few of us that were there together, and the bloke and I said, well, this money's no good to us. It wasn't. I mean, it was useless. Money was no good. So we all went to the canteen and had a booze up. Everybody joined in. It was just put over the counter and spent. But that was the best thing to do with that in that case. But we lagered, yeah. And then we came down through and eventually finished up in Egypt. Oh, we were down in Israel too. Well, what was Israel? We were back up there. I forget them photographs. I could just remind me.
Whereabouts in Egypt did you end up?
Well, we were down the Suez Canal for a lot of it. There was an island. That's where we experimented the invasion of Sicily. We didn't need to. It was a load of work. Waste of time, really, because when we got to Sicily, we were not the first in, and we went straight into the docks and ashore, and then started marching. But as we landed on Sicily, we started walking through and going through, and all of a sudden, our signal sergeant, he came belting past us, running. He went straight back to the boat. And when we turned the corner, we realised what it was. A flamethrower had been being used, and lying guy there was somebody who had been hit with a flamethrower, and it was just, to look at it quite casually, it looked like a big cigar. There was nothing there, nothing that you could describe, and it was completely burnt. I mean, this flamethrower must have been not just a hand one, it must have been a big one, I should think. Of course, there were different ones with some on brain gun carriers and that, but whatever it was, but it was just like one great big, and that's what he'd seen, and he went bomb happy. He absolutely ran back to the boat. We never saw him again, and we found out afterwards that he was our signal sergeant, actually, to tell you the truth, and he was to a, what do they call them, people that wouldn't do fighting, they just did mopping up afterwards. Conscientious objectors. He was sent back with one of them, one of those crews. What happened to him, we don't know. Is that, he was Sergeant Witt and he came from Southampton, that's all I can tell you. I mean, she never, and he was what we used to call a little short arse. I mean, he was only half the size of most of us, but he had a big head. He thought he was cat's whiskers, but when after that, God knows what he did, I don't know. But he came running past us and went back to the boat. I never saw him anymore. But no, where have we got to now?
What happened next then in the Sicily campaign?
In the Italy campaign? Wait a minute. We went to thing, and then we went into Italy.
How long were you on Sicily for?
Well, quite a while, actually. We apparently, I'll find out, if I remember, we were about the last to leave from the top of Italy. But on Sicily, I never went straight to Italy. I went back to Malta.
You got wounded.
I was wounded. Matter of fact, I don't know where there was something wrong with my leg here, anyway. Something had hit it, and I was sent back on a plane. It was going back to Malta, where I stayed for 3 months. That's another good thing.
You had a shrapnel wound, Dad, didn't
Well,
you?
Shrapnel of something, yes. It was. It's not. It's funny enough, there's hardly any scar there now. There was for a while. But later on, my legs swelled up. That leg swelled up like a great big sausage, and that was in Aden when I was. But I went back to Italy, and I was in Valletta in the hospital, and then after there, I went up to the training camp up on the Golden Bay. That's what we used to call it anyway, Golden Bay. And there I had hoped to see my brother in the Navy, because he was down just below Golden Bay. He was in a fleet sweeper at the time. And he used to go between Malta and Gibraltar, and Malta, sweeping the seas, and picking up, he picked up two brothers and a captain one day, who used to live opposite us in Eton. They lived just across the road from us, Wally and Jackie Beasley, two brothers, and he picked them up, and fortunately been on, as he was like, there was only one officer on the boat with him, so he took them both down in his cabin and gave them best of treatment. But he said, but when he... The thing is, when we invaded Sicily, he was sweeping the seas. And he couldn't understand. He said he came up from his cabin when they were there, after doing a sweep and such or something. And he said, I looked round, there's all these ruddy grey liners all round. He said, I went straight down and had the biggest tot of rum I've had in my life. He expected to see Jerry flying all over us. Because he had trouble with planes and that. And I don't know whether you knew, there were three planes on Malta. Faith, Hope and Charity. I've got a picture of them there. Faith, Hope and Charity. And I've got, there's a picture of the Malta Harbour with all the ships in it, but it's before the war, and the three planes flying over it. Well, how I got all these pictures, I don't know. I suppose it's my brother, really. Must have been. And he was on the war boat. He left that, it got sunk. He was on, every ship that they shifted him from, it seemed to get sunk. After he'd gone, it was weird. But then he was on a fleet sweeper. And when I went down to see if he was there, he wasn't. He'd left 2 days before to come to England so that he could sweep the seas for the invasion of France. And they swept that twice, did you know that? They did that 2 days. Of course, I learned all these things afterwards. He said that was the worst thing we ever. He said we swept a haul along the coast for mines the day, and then they cancelled it. He said we had to do it all again. He said, and of course, there's stuff flying right, left, and centre everywhere. How he never got hit, I don't know. But he was just lucky, I think.
Did you have much contact with the civilian population while you were on Sicily?
A few of them, yes. We used to speak to them, but of course they were only odd people here and there. I mean, you didn't really. I mean, when they saw you, they in a sense tried to hide, really, because they'd had with the Jerrys, I suppose, had put them off from that. But we did see, talk to one or two of them, and of course you came across so many people that did speak English. That's the surprising part of it. But we used to go back and go swimming. When one was on the front, right sort of thing. Primosola Bridge, that's right, that was the main thing before the across all the open country. And we'd go back, and of course we got into this lovely bay, and it's a beautiful bay, so we'll all go swimming. So we'll go swimming, all of the Nadia, of course. And this one man, there's a picture of him in there with a group of us. He was in the office, sort of orderly in the office. And he got up dressed quick and he went rushing in. And all of a sudden, he screamed. What the hell? Anyway, when we got there,
Portuguese man of war.
Yeah. I settled over and hit him there. Burnt him. We never saw him. 6 months before we saw him again. He had to go. He went back off. But the fact that he did it, and then we could see all these blubbing things bobbing away. Of course, everybody was beating the water, and you could see them swimming away. But there was a crowd of them. But if we'd have all run in there, we'd have all been the same, I should think. But oh dear, he was in a state. But he did come back to us in time, that's true. Same as I did. Eventually, when I left Malta, I went back to the heel of Italy. And I don't know how I got there, it still puzzles me. I still can't remember whether I went by boat or flew to the heel of Italy. It always puzzled me. I'm a bit dim from that. But anyway, I was moving up, and all of a sudden I got collared. Can you ride a horse? I said, yeah. Oh, I know a bit about a horse. Naturally, being on my grandparents' farm, got me with horses and cart horses. So I said, oh, that's useful. And what I was put in then, I was given a horse, and they said, they are, now take these men. They're all Italians that had come over. And they were a party which carried stuff all up to the troops. So I used to go backwards and forwards with him, riding a horse. This is daft. It looks so silly, really, to me. And they all used to, I'm not kidding, those Italians, they used to treat me well. And anything I wanted, they'd seem to get. And they used to say, yes. As far as I was concerned, I was just with them. That was all. I didn't sort of order them of anything. But they were good. They carried all this stuff up. Then what do I do one day? Go and deliver to my own unit. And I thought, quiet as I could, I didn't push myself forward. I thought, no, I'm trying to get out of this. I will admit that. Somebody said to me, I know you, don't I? I said, do you? Oh, yeah, he says. Yes. Oh, Corporal Birch, yes. What are you doing then? I said, well, I'm in charge of this thing. I said, when, of course, the officer got, oh, that's it. That was me, finished. I lost it. I was back with a unit. Much to my dismay, I was enjoying myself. Because these Italians, they were the ideal person to be with, because they knew everything and they got things that nobody else would possibly get. So we were living quite well. But there you are, you had these little bits of luck. But from there, of course, I was with my own unit.
What happened next?
Well, I just carried on forward and keep going into Italy. Funny enough, I also at the heel, my brother in the Air Force, he was there. He'd come from, I don't know whether he was there at the time, whether he came later, but he came from Egypt. He was at outside Egypt. He used to look after a bomber, and he used to fly with them every time they went. He used to go down to Kufa. Something, I don't know.
He was based at Giannakoulis, wasn't he?
Giannakoulis, yes, he was based at Giannakoulis. Well, I went there after. I didn't go there till after. Sicily, yeah. Oh, yeah. Before I went to Sicily, yes, that was, because I met him, and I went and met him. We were in Egypt, and we all got leave, and I was having leave in Egypt after the coming down from Afghanistan, Iraq, we got leave, and three of us, I think it was, we got a lift from Cairo to what's the coast of town?
Alexandria,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. And of course, his place was outside Alexandria. But we got a lift in a lorry, and all of a sudden, this lorry, it had to call in his airport, his station. So I said, "Oh, I'll get off here and." I've asked somebody, oh yes, so and so, he lives in, his tent's over there anyway, they said. So I said, I'll see you in Cairo in Alexandria later. So I went in, not into the tent, and there was a couple of blokes there. I said, George Birch here? They said, George Birch? Don't know him. Of course, the thingy, he was called George, but his name was Walter George. So in the Air Force, it was Walter Birch. So that made a bit of a... Walter George Birch. So he said, no, but there's his bed over there. So I thought, well, that's a fair enough. Go and have a lay on it. And I laid on the... And he came in, and of course, coming into there, he looked, who the bloody hell's on my tent, on my bed? And when he came over, he said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I just thought I'd drop in. I said, I was on my way to Alexandria. Oh, he said, So what do? I go and get him, go and see his CO. He gets so many days leave. He comes up to Alexandria with me. I did that twice for him. I did it again in Cairo. I went back for a leave in Cairo, and I got in touch with him, and he again got leave from down below where he was at the, and he came up and had another week in Rome. He did very well, actually, out of me, I think. But no, he was left off the plane, and they used to bomb them by mass. Well, some of the planes, and one day one of his planes went back, and it hadn't dropped its bombs. But as it landed, one of the boats, and they pulled the wrong lever, and the bombs all went skidding across the air station. Fortunately, as they were low enough, they kept on their side, and no nose touched anything, and they all safely off. He said, but God, he said, for a minute, I wasn't there, but he told me afterwards, and for a minute, he said, everybody, whew, thought the place was going to be blown to pieces. So, but there's different things. Now, where have I got to now?
What do you remember of the build-up to the ANZIO campaign?
The ANZIO campaign, well, as far as we were concerned, you see, we got up to Grigliano. We were up at the Grigliano, and I had already laid, we were supposed to go across there, I'd already been down, laid a line right along our side of it, and laid it in, and come back, and that is where I left, at the peak where we've joined up, made a join, I'd left my knife stuck in the end, and of course I went back to there, to pick my knife. That was all in the company orders about having gone to pick up his knife. But I went down on pick him. But there was only two of us. I let somebody else come with me when we laid that line. But the join at the end there. But I used to very often at night, especially, somebody come and say there's a break so and so and so and so from the. Well, the officers, you'd call it then, those days, but it'd come through, and I'd go out and find it, but I preferred to go on my own, because I always thought it was safer. I used to get told off quite a few times, because the officer said, well, what if anything happened to you? I said, well, it would happen, wouldn't it? But it wouldn't happen to two of us. And he said, nothing I can do, because I can't be there with you for 24 hours a day. So I still used to go out quite. The one time I did go out, I didn't go out. Two bones, and we had a young fella, Bobby Manley, I can always remember his name, and he was just new to us, and he was 18 years old. And these two, they were, I forget what they were, a B company, I think, and they went out to repair a line. And they said, well, we'll take him with him for experience. Well, instead of just one of them going and him with him, the three of them went. They got mortared. The two laid down. I mean, I got mortared. I think I really got mortared once. But fortunately, you just lay down, get under your tin hat, and hope for the best. But he unfortunately, being inexperienced, he hadn't been with them long, he ran and got in half, more or less. He got cut, injured right across the middle. Especially if you lay down, when they dropped, they burst. It's only if they landed on you, then they catch you. But they used to have what they call, I don't know whether they had it in the rest of the war, we used to call it the Nebelwaffer. And this German thing, when they set it off, some people said there were six, some said there was eight, but anyway, one after the other, you get these mortars go up. It was must have been in a big circular thing. They went one after the other. And each one was a different charge, so it came to a different spot. So you just laid there and hope for the best. But fortunately for me, they all went round me like that. That's the only time I've really got whipped with the Neverwhopper. But